Welcome to the Fry Farm campus of Charter Oak Church in Greensboro, Pennsylvania. We're pleased that you've joined us this week for the final message in the series Noah, Out of Your Comfort Zone, looking at Genesis chapter 8, verses 13 through 22. You've heard it many times, God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. Noah is a lesson in that truth. Here's Pastor Dave Eversteich.
As I was thinking about this Palm Sunday and this particular message, though the message is all about Noah and getting out of your comfort zone, I began to think of the characters in the Passion story, the last week of Jesus' life. How did they react to God's call in that week? How did they respond to his calling them to move from safe places to risk? Because God often calls us to risk, doesn't he? I began to think of people like Judas. He never moved from his comfort zone. His comfort zone was financial well-being. Peter, he couldn't even claim Jesus in this last week. Couldn't move from his comfort zone. The chief priests and elders of Israel couldn't move from their safety, and so they passed the Jesus decision on to Pilate. Pilate couldn't move from his comfort zone by dismissing the entire charges against Jesus. He just stayed where he was with washed hands. But Simon the Cyrene, who carried the cross, saw something in this beaten, bleeding man and stepped out of his comfort zone, and he stepped up to the call of God. The centurion, who came out of his comfort zone, risked demotion at best, death at worst, to utter truly this man was the Son of God. Joseph of Arimathea, who boldly moved out of his comfort role as a member of the Sanhedrin, to claim the body of Jesus for burial. And then Jesus, who knew the answer when he asked his Father to take away this painful death, but who nevertheless said, "Not my will, but yours." It was a week filled with a mixed bag of reasoning and reactions, of disappointing steps as well as bold assertions and courageous God movement moments, from comfort to dis-ease to fulfillment. I want you to think about those things as we move toward Easter. But tonight we're going to finish this story, as Pastor asked me to do. We're going to finish Noah's story. I want you to watch that. Look at this. I thought that was really cute. I mean, ever wonder why Noah sent a dove? Most often we think of Noah, we think about this guy who lived a long time ago. He built a boat, the flood came, etc., etc. And that's all true, but there's so much more, as I hope you picked up last week. And so today, as we close out this short series, I want to talk about taking steps to get out of your comfort zone, our comfort zones. Now, comfort zone is a really weird, ironic kind of thing, because most of us want to be comfortable. We like our comfort zones. Here's a definition of a comfort zone. It is a place or situation where one feels safe or at ease and without stress. That sounds pretty good to us, especially that last part, huh? Most of us are looking for that. But I want to suggest tonight that is the absolute polar opposite of what God wants for your life. Neil Donald Walsh, author of the series Conversations with God, puts it this way: life begins at the end of your comfort zone. I believe him. Why? Well, you've heard me say it and around here. Maybe I should have said it more often, but it's in the worship folder tonight. God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. The comfort zone is really a place where you kind of put your life on autopilot. It's a place we don't have to put any effort into life. It's safe. It's known. It's without risk. We go to great lengths to build comfort zones so we don't have to stress about anything. And yet sometimes when you're pushed beyond your comfort zone, you find out that's a good thing. Think about the first day of school ever. I don't know if you were like me, but I didn't want to go. As I was writing this, I was reminded of our 5-year-old granddaughter, Natalie. She has red hair and the temperament to go with it. One time I told her, let's go to McDonald's. You can get nuggets. That's her favorite at McDonald's. You can get nuggets and you can play in the playground. And she was all excited. Yeah, let's go. Until she was told she had to put on socks and shoes because she couldn't play in the playground without socks on. And then her answer is always, no, thank you. She didn't want to go. It was too comfortable hanging out with Pop-Pop and Grandma at home. Think of your first date, your first date ever, your first driving experience, your first place of your own. Comfort zones are good, but you want to push beyond those boundaries because comfort zones put us in a box, a very familiar place. There's no risk there, but it's not what God wants, where God wants us. Listen, if you're a Jesus follower, you've got to get really comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because God always wants you to take another step, as Pastor said, another step in your journey. As we wrap up this series, notice Noah is pushed beyond his comfort zone to a new life adventure. Though there is risk, fear, anxiety associated with that, it's what was best for Noah. Although this wasn't the first time Noah was pushed out of his comfort zone, do you remember? He was about 500 years old, and God calls him from everything he knows, everything with which he's familiar, and tells Noah to build a large boat. He had no clue of the where, how, when, what, or why of that, yet he was obedient. We talked about that last week. Now today, Noah is called to get out of the boat, out of his comfort zone, which the ark had become. He's now 600 years old. Listen, I've discovered something. At least in my experience, our willingness to risk as we get older, it usually shrinks. We don't like taking as many risks, but often that's where we ought to be. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 13. Noah was now 601 years old. On the first day of the new year, 10 and a half months after the flood began, the floodwaters had almost dried up from the earth. Noah lifted back the covering of the boat and saw that the surface of the ground was drying. Two more months went by, and at last the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, leave the boat, all of you, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground so they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth. So Noah, his wife, and his sons and their wives left the boat. And all of the large and small animals and birds came out of the boat, pair by pair. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed as burnt offerings the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Now, let me give you three things that I hope will help you get out of your comfort zones. I know that goes against everything inside you, goes against the goals in your life, which are all about comfort mostly. But again, that should not be the goal of your life if you are a Jesus follower. Jesus followers live on the edge, which requires faith. So here we go. Step number one. The first step is up to you. There's an old adage, which is actually a myth, a legend. God helps those who help themselves. I spoke on that last year in the Church Legend series. It's not true. I found it not to be true. In fact, when I reach the end of my reach, I found God steps in and when I can't help myself. There's a ring of truth to the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, but it's not biblical. The truth about that is this. You cannot expect to sit back and do nothing and expect God to do everything. That's true. The next step is up to you. What I mean is this. When you come to the point in your life where you realize it's time to change, you're willing to do what it takes. It's time to get on board with God and be obedient, do what he says. A point where you say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't want to be in my comfort zone anymore. Then you're ready. Then you're ready. You have come to the point, and often it's very difficult getting there. Because inside us, we don't want to leave our comfort zones. Look back with me at verse 13. Noah was now 601 years old. On the first day of the new year, 10.5 months after the flood began, the floodwaters had almost dried up the earth. Noah lifted back the covering of the boat and saw that the surface of the ground was drying. It goes on for another 2.5 months because it's not dry enough. So now it's over a year after the flood. The ark has become Noah's home. As difficult as it must have been confined in that boat with those stinking animals, there was still a sense of comfort about it. It was familiar to him. A safe place. So it was a challenge. This sense of tension we all face when we begin to think about breaking out of our comfort zones. Noah knew all about the downsides of that comfort zone. It's not a fun job cleaning up that ark every day. A year in close confinement with your relatives, that's never easy. It's tough enough making it through Thanksgiving dinner sometimes. The point is this, there were reasons he would have been very happy to get out of there. But there was another side. It was pretty comfortable. It had become home. Funny thing, though, about a comfort zone, it's not always so comfortable. It's just safe, familiar. It's known. So rather than risk what could be, we stay with what we know. So here's a question for you. Is that really the way you want to live your life? Afraid of what could be out there? Understand, the first step is hard because even though we probably know things could be better outside the comfort zone, we still have to take that first step. Again, think about your life. A comfort zone is self-imposed. We actually restrict all the things that could happen in life. Ever wonder why an addict has so much difficulty, continues destroying their life and the lives of those around them in this kind of repetitive cycle? Ever wonder why so many celebrities and others go through rehab 2, 3, 4 times? Logically, they know their addiction is destructive. Why continue in it? There is something about that addiction that, while it may not be comfortable, they know what to expect. They're comfortable, even in it. They know it's not best for them, but it's safe. Again, it's known, and the cycle just repeats itself. The same can be said of people in dysfunctional relationships. It's not what's best, but it's familiar, and they stay. Come back again and again. Why? Because we're afraid of what's out there. You don't want to be there. The goal of life is not just to be comfortable. Noah understood that, and God pushed him out, and God pushes us beyond our comfort zones. He doesn't want us to live stale, stagnant lives. A friend of mine tells about fishing at the beach last summer. There were a couple of elderly ladies nearby getting some sun. It was hot, and so it wasn't long before they got up and they went out to the surf line. And then they sat at the edge of the wave line where the sand is soft, and it's kind of neat to feel the gentle line. By that time, the gentle line of waves hitting you. And then the tide began to turn. Water came in. It kept getting higher. The women weren't that concerned until the water got to the place where they needed to move. So my friend is fishing, and he's watching this happen. He says one of the ladies, the one who apparently was a little more agile, got up. But the second lady could not, no matter what they tried. They kept trying to get her up, and they started laughing about their efforts. Meanwhile, the water's getting higher and higher. My friend thinks if she doesn't get up soon, she's going to drown. So he asked if this lady would like some help, to which she replied, "No thanks, we're just having some fun." She played off his offer like everything was good. And we do the same thing in our comfort zones. God pushes, and we respond, "It's okay, I'm good." People offer help and it's, no thanks, I'm good. And all the while, we're drowning. The situation is getting worse. But we don't know what's out there, so we just stay. Friends, move beyond. Break out. By the way, after about a half an hour of trying, the lady finally got up out of her comfort zone. Step two, your next step is established by God. Once you make the decision to get in step with God, once you move beyond your comfort zone, break out, then God does his thing. Listen to this truth. God will accomplish what he wants to accomplish. You can either get on board or miss the train, but God wants you to join him in what he's doing. Once you do, it gets scary again. Why? Because it's a step of obedience. A step of faith. And that's scary because we want to know the future. We want to know that next step. We want to know what to look for. Let me explain it this way. When you're looking for the next right step, which is really looking for the will of God, just look for one step. We get bogged down looking for what's going to happen 20 years from now. Who am I going to marry? What am I going to do in retirement? We worry about the future like that. Listen to me. God will not show you that. If he did, you'd just freak out. You'd be so afraid, you'd just stay hunkered down in your comfort zone. Here's how it works. God shows you one step. You take that step. God shows you the next step. You take that one. Someone shared with me this visual picture. When you're seeking God's will in your life, how to join him, how to get out of your comfort zone, God gives you a lantern, not a flashlight. The lantern has just enough light to show you your next step. When you take that step, the lantern sheds enough light for your next step, but not much more. You take that step, well, you get the picture. One step at a time. I remember when I was a senior in college, I had been avoiding something all of those 4 years. It was April of my senior year, and I had been a Spanish major, an English major, a history major. Can't do that anymore, can you? And I just kept avoiding it. Finally, I went to the chaplain at the college and said, you know, I think maybe I need to go to seminary. And I'd like to go to United in Dayton. So, you know, can you help me with that? And he said, sure, I'd love to help you with that. And I kind of put God on the spot. I kind of said, God, if that's what I'm supposed to do, there will be a spot available for me even now. That was late in April. By the 5th of May, I had been assured I had a position in the incoming class. Judy and I left. We were married at that point. Judy and I left for seminary in Dayton. We left from Reading, Ohio, with everything we owned packed into a cargo van. My brother in his Navy uniform, helping out, and then getting in that uniform and hitchhiking his way back home. My first year of seminary, I flipped burgers. I did everything that I could. God provided. I don't know how to this day, but he did. And then in my second year, I got an offer of a job. And to tell you the story, complete the story, by the end of my senior year, I was making more money in that job than I did when I came back to pastor my first church. One step at a time. Think of it this way. We want the digital camera version of God's will. Take a picture with your phone camera. You look at it. If you don't like it, you can delete it. That's not how God reveals his will. It's more like a Polaroid picture. Remember those? You take a picture, the picture slides out undeveloped. There's no definition. But give it a couple of minutes and it develops right before your eyes. It gets a little clearer little by little. When you tell God you're willing to go where he says to go, do what he says to do, God shows you step by step. Look at verse 15. God said to Noah, leave the boat, all of you, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, and the small animals that scurry along the ground so they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth. This is the tipping point in Noah's story. God is saying, here's the next step. Get out of your comfort zone. This decision right here will make or break Noah for the rest of his life. What he does will change the course of his story and history. Noah had to think about that, evaluate the circumstances. The boat had not only been his home for the past year, it had been his sanctuary. Remember, that boat was the safe place, so he was not killed like everybody else in the world. Again, it was his comfort zone. Picture him descending the gangplank. He has to be thinking, what if it doesn't work out? What if it starts raining again? What if it floods again? If it does, he's thinking, he needs to not get too far from the boat so he can go back in again. We'll see, God doesn't operate that way. When God calls, he often calls you to burn the bridges behind you, those comfort zones, those safety nets. Faced with this risky, difficult decision, what will Noah do? Verse 18. So Noah, his wife, and his sons and their wives left the boat. They passed the test. And all of the large and small animals and birds came out of the boat, pair by pair. When you read that, it's kind of just easy to skim over it. You think, well, duh, everybody would want to get out of the boat. He's been cooped up in there with his family and all those animals for over years. But remember again what this represents. This is a big step. When you step out of your comfort zone, it's a big step. Every time. There are all kinds of good reasons to leave, but there's always something in us that reminds us, this is familiar, it's known, it's safe. If it ever rains again, I'm safe. I want you to listen now. It took as much faith for Noah to get out of the boat as it took for him to get into the boat. It was scary. But Noah wanted to do what God wanted him to do. He was fully committed to God's plan for his life. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Just allow God to show you the next step. Don't worry so much about 20 years from now. And I will admit to you, Patrick and Mark and Bill and Tom, those financial guys who want to help you plan for those years, they're important. And let me tell you, I'm grateful for those guys. Judy and I are comfortable. We're not rich. We're not wealthy by any means, but comfortable because of guys like them who helped us plan for retirement. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying don't ask God to map out your life for the next 20 years. Let him show you step by step and take you step by step out of your comfort zone. Take a step of faith and then the next step and the one after that. Trust God. Allow God to show you that next step. The first step is my choice. The second step is established by God. And step three, every step is an exercise in trust. Every single step will require faith, will require trust. The Bible says we're to live by faith, not by sight. Look, what does that look like? Well, watch this. I didn't hear him. What did he say? It froze. Didn't even get there, did it? Okay, we'll just move on. It's all right. If you remember that, you remember it? He does this, and a step appears. And he does this, and another step appears. You get the point. See, it's a matter of taking a step even though you can't see what's in your path. God is calling us to do something. That step is scary, isn't it? When we're willing to take it, God will reveal the next step. Every time God calls you to leave your comfort zone, you may not see what's out there. Just take that step. The first step is always the hardest. But listen, this faith, this trust is not arbitrary trust in something, but trust in someone. It's not blind faith. It's trusting the one who laid down his life for you, who cares that much for you. Jesus not only wants to help you out of your comfort zone, he wants to lead you for the rest of your life, walk through life with you. But you've got to take some steps. You've got to trust him. So question, this is an important one. What is God asking you to do? What has God laid on your heart, but because of fear, you have never attempted? You're willing to stay in your comfort zone rather than follow God. For some of you, that may be something non-spiritual, like maybe going back to school, getting your degree. You've always wanted to do that, but something happened and you never got it done. Maybe God is asking you to leave the job you're in right now. You're doing something you hate, and God has something greater for you. You always wanted to try it, but you started this job, and now you've got a family and responsibilities, and you can't figure out how to do it. God will take you through those steps, step by step. Maybe it's something more spiritual. Maybe it's joining the church, or baptism, or giving of your finances. Pastor mentioned this earlier. He took my thunder. Just happened so that last fall, the pastor of the church Judy and I attend in Ohio gave a startling statistic. I was so amazed I jotted it down. There are 400,000 churches in the U.S. Now, being me, I started to do the math because I knew that the average weekly attendance is somewhere near 75. I figured it out. 30 million people who attend a service each week. And here it comes. Half of those people give absolutely nothing to the church for its ministry. Not a dime. You may be one of them. You're afraid for your finances, so you don't do it. All I'm saying is this. When God calls, there will be some fear, a little anxiety. If there weren't, it wouldn't be faith. It's one step into the unknown sometimes, a leap of faith, trusting, knowing God will not let you fall. So you take a step of faith and then another, and you gain confidence with each step. That's exactly Noah's experience as he left the boat. Verse 20, Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed as burnt offerings the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. It's interesting. The very first thing Noah does when he leaves the boat, walking in faith down that gangplank, is a sign of his trust in God. He builds an altar. He makes a sacrifice. It's a sign that says, God, we're committed. We'll follow you. I'm grateful for that boat. It was a great comfort to me, but now you've called me out of that, and I'm moving on to new things. Whatever they are, I'm following you. And then it says God was pleased with the aroma, and he vowed he would never again destroy the earth. I want you to know this is a precursor to the New Testament story. Jesus came and gave all of us the opportunity, even though our natural bent is toward evil from childhood. We inherited that bent toward sin. He gave us the opportunity of a relationship, our real place of security and sanctuary in the midst of all the storms of life. This was a big step of faith, of trust for Noah. Remember, he was 500 years old when he got in the boat building business. You're never too old. You're never too far gone, too sinful. Whatever age you are, whatever you've done, take the risk. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. God, I'm willing. I'm willing. Okay, then. I'll show you the steps. Psalm 119, 105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Friends, this book is your lantern so you can see the next right step in your life. Let me close and see if I can tie all this together. Comfort zones. Although we seek them, they are not life recliners. Rather than risk, we often adapt our lives to less than what God calls us to. Let me try to illustrate. Years ago, back in the day when TVs weighed 3 tons, you remember those days, anybody? I guess not. We had a TV, a good one. But after 5 or 6 years, it started to have some issues. Another year or so, and I would whack it, and the picture would come on. And that became the pattern. It wasn't long before I had to hit it 4 or 5 times at least, and then it had to be just in the right spot. And life became adapted to the problems of this TV, all because I wouldn't go out of my comfort zone and spend money to get a flat screen. In my defense, this was a day when you had to take out a bank loan for a flat screen TV. Finally, it gave up the ghost. I got it in the trunk using an excavator and a bucket. It was so heavy, and I took it to the dump. It was a sentimental journey. My comfort zone was gone. We got a new TV, not a flat screen. By this time, they were only costing $10,000, and I was too cheap. And when we got it all hooked up, I asked the question, why didn't we do this a long time ago? We do the same thing in our lives. We will adapt our lives to comfort zones, knowing it's not the best thing. We know there are better ways of doing things, yet we're afraid. Rather than change, we adapt. But friends, that's not what God wants you to do. You are meant for greater things than just settling. God has a plan and a purpose for you, just as he had for Noah. It's as true today as it was in his time. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, you show us, even though everything in us is seeking this place of no stress, where we can put our life on autopilot, that's a waste of life, to go through life seeking comfort zones when you call us to so much more. You call us to live on the edge, to live a life of faith without seeing what will happen. So, Lord, when we are at those places of fear where we just want to stay comfortable, I pray you would shake us up. So I pray for each person in this room. I don't know what comfort zones they've established. Some aren't so earth-shattering, but for others, it may be a relationship they need to leave, an addiction that leaves them afraid of the unknown, a life decision that needs to be made. I pray they'd have confidence to take just a step of faith. God, I pray for those in this room who may never have trusted Jesus, carrying a weight of sin and guilt and shame, things they wish they had not done. And God, I'm so thankful you made a way. Just like with Noah, you made a place of refuge. You are a place of refuge, a place of salvation. So I pray for those who don't know you. I pray today would be their day, the day they would say yes to Jesus. And if that's you, again, I invite you to pray a prayer something like this silently. Jesus, I give you my life. I'm sorry for the way I've messed it up. I believe you have a plan for me. You love me. And so I'm placing my faith in you. I'm taking a step at a time, trusting you. So thank you, God, for your promise to meet us where we are. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending this time in worship with all of us here at Charter Oak Church in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. We've wrapped up the Noah series, and next week we'll kick off a new one, so we hope you'll join us then. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about the church or any of its 3 campuses, please check out our website at www.charteroak.church. God bless, and hope to see you next week.